just give an overview first of what we'd like, you know, what basis we'd like to touch on today in a shiur, which is really halacha for Parshas Baaloscha, because here in Eretz Yisrael, that's what we're reading these days. We read it yesterday, we read it on Shabbos, and I mean on Shabbos Mincha, we're going to read it, you know, again on Thursday on Shabbos. And although I'm not going to equate the mitzvah of Hadlaka Bebeis HaMikdash, which is the first mitzvah in Baaloscha, with Hadlaka of a woman in the house on Leil Shabbos, and as we'll soon see, it's not just a woman, it's really the chiv is on a man no less than the woman, but she does the mitzvah before. So that's why I thought that maybe since the Olamot, you know, website has a shiur called Shachacha Lahadlik Neros B'Shabbos, Neros Shabbos, I thought maybe for Parshas Baaloscha it might be a good subject to talk about. Because what we're going to try to do is define the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, talk about Emirat Hashem, how many candles have to be lit, and perhaps what happens in a case where she forgot to light. And that question itself subdivides into two categories. Number one, if she forgot to light, could somebody else light to replace her? Maybe even a guy. I don't know. We'll have to see. And question number two, if let's say she completely forgot to light and nobody lit, whether or not we can possibly increase the neros when she lights henceforth. So again, before we go into the Makoros inside, let me just say the following. The Ramah has a Maril, and he paskins that if a woman forgets on one occasion to light two candles, then for the rest of her life she has to light three candles, and he writes Mishum Knas, and that's going to be a penalty to make sure that next time it won't happen again, and should be careful about Kovod Shabbos. Now, does that mean that every single time that she forgets, we have to add another candle? That's a tremendous issue that we want to investigate today. Number two, let's say a woman did not forget to light candles, but she didn't light the amount of candles that she usually generally lights. So let's say a woman lights 10 candles for whatever reason. Let's say she has that many children in the house, blah, blah, blah. And on one particular occasion, she forgot to light 10 candles. Does that also come under this psak of the Ramah, the Maril, that she deserves a knas? Maybe if she at least lit two candles, that's a bare minimum. Okay, we'll have to see. Then, another issue that we'd love to touch on is the nature of the obligation of a man vis-a-vis Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. Do we assume that the Chiyuv is on the man? Do we assume, no, the Chiyuv is on the woman? Do we assume the Chiyuv is on both of them? And then the choice becomes who should implement that Chiyuv? Or perhaps, and this could most be the most exciting way of learning, can we make a comparison analogy between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah? And we'll soon see in the Rambam in Chanukah, the mitzvah is not on you or him or anybody. It's on the entire bayis. Ner Ishu Beso. Is there a parallel halacha with regard to Ner Shabbos? Again, the language of the Rambam, where he says, regarding women, Muzharos Yoser, you know, that's some strange, ambiguous language that's not typical in the Rambam. And we want to analyze those words in the Rambam. Perhaps the Rambam is indicating that a woman has a special obligation vis-a-vis Ner Shabbos. But one of the common mistakes that we'd like to dispel today is that the Chiyuv is exclusively on the woman. That's a very difficult shita, although the Mishnah does seem to indicate that there's a special Chiyuv on the woman. It doesn't mean necessarily to exclusion of the man. Now, the most central issue in Ner Shabbos, to the best of my knowledge, this is like the kishkis of the kishkis, you know, the nucleus, if you will, the hub of the wheel. What is the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Is the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos to light the candles, which we call a maisad loka? Or is it the light in the house, just guaranteeing that there's light in the house?
So
again, I'm just giving sort of like an overview of what we want to discuss. Go ahead, Joe.
No, so I'm saying you're going to touch on the fact of today with light in the house, the knas would be only if there's no other light?
Correct. Then the knas would only, if you hold like that side, then the mitzvah is to have a bias daluk, mu'ar ba'ar, then if she didn't light, then that's not really a hafka, that's not really a bittel of the mitzvah. It might be that she loses a certain extra dimension, she forfeits the extra kiyum of the Maisat Loka, but nevertheless, the kiyum of Ner Shabbos is there. Another issue that I'd love to touch on are the various minhagim regarding the number of candles that should be lit, and especially the very common minhag today that with the addition of every child, Ken Yirbu, we add another candle. What is the source and the basis for that minhag? We want to also touch on the question of being a guest in someone's house. Does the number of candles change? When you're at home, there's one number. When you're away from your house, there's another number. Or, for example, let's say a man's wife gives birth, she's in the hospital, and he lights the candles in his house instead of his wife. Does he light the same number of candles that his wife would light? And then finally, when we talk about this knas for a woman who forgot to light candles, that knas, like any other knas, does not apply in a case of ones. I mean, she was in a coma, chas v'shalom, or she was giving birth. What exactly is the definition of ones in this context to remove the knas? And to what extent can shichacha, in certain situations at least, be considered, be classified as ones? Does this discussion apply to yontif in the same exact way that it applies to Shabbos? Or do we say that the knas is only imposed for a bittul of mitzvahs ner Shabbos, but not ner yontif? So the first source that we want to look at, which should be on page 1 of hopefully the page that you have, is the, just one second, is the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril is on page 2, and he says the following: Shachacha v'lo edlika ner Shabbos is tehei zehira kol yamel lahosif al kol ner shel mitzvah yoser mimash ha'isa regila arata. He doesn't go into detail exactly what the base number was, but whatever that number of candles that she lit, kol yamel, now she has to light an additional ner. That's the psak of the Ma'aril. And the Ma'aril is quoted by the Ramah in Tur Arachayim. And again, everything that we're studying is in Simon Reish Samach Gimel, in his work called the Darkei Moshe. And he writes, Kosav Ma'aril, Isha Sheshachav Lodlika Nebishav Shetzrichu Kol Yemel Lahosif Al Ner Shel Mitzvah Yosef Yimashal Yisrael Gilu Adlikat Ato. And then he adds other punishments. He says she has to go into a fast, tainis, she requires vidui. And the Ramah writes, Kol Ze Eino Ela Chumros Rechokos. But he writes that there is a minhag to accept the Ma'aril, and anytime she forgets, she adds a new hadlaka. So for example, if she forgot once, she will henceforth light 3 neros. V'nira desamchu adivrei Mardechai shekosav v'sechter Rosh Hashanah reish perek yontif diyachol yichol lahosif al dover hamachuvon. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he means by that. I was thinking about it, and I can just give you an intuitive, like sort of a shot in the dark, and you'll tell me what you think he means. I thought he's worrying about adding to a mitzvah. It's not pasha that you can add to a mitzvah. And he says that since the dover mechuvan, meaning it's done under very strict, you know, experimental conditions, it's done because of the fact that she missed and she's adding, that's not changing the mitzvah. Frankly speaking, if that's the pshat, I don't understand, because I would have said simply, it's a heder mitzvah. The more candles you light, the more you beautify the mitzvah. So I don't know why there should be any issue here about tampering with the mitzvah. Now, we have the minig of lighting two candles. The tour, which you'll see right here on your page, page 2, says that Yesh mechavnim lasos shtei psilos, and the reason for this is echad keneged zachar, v'echad keneged shamar. Then he writes, and we'll soon see that he gets this from the Rama, anoshim musharis bo biyoser. And he gives some sort of mystical explanation, which would fall into our discussion that we had a few weeks ago about the relation between Kabbalah and Halacha. But if you take a look at the Rambam, Perek Hei Milcha Shabbos Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos Eino Rishus, Shem Rotza Madlik Im Rotza Eino Madlik. It's not a question of a voluntary, optional kind of situation, which the Rambam says would not require a bracha, let's say. But on the other extreme, it's not an absolute chova, v'lo mitzvah she'eino chayav lido fachriachia senekagon erev chatzes until siyadayim la'achila. It's not an absolute chiyuv. I'm sorry. It's not a mitzvah. See, the Rambam's language is a little bit unfamiliar to us. It's a little bit strange to us. The Rambam has three categories, three terms. On one extreme he has chova, on the other extreme he has rishus, and in the middle, the Rambam has a middle category called mitzvah. The difference between rishus and mitzvah is the bracha. When you have a mitzvah, it means that under certain circumstances you fulfill that mitzvah and you get a mitzvah for it, and therefore you make a bracha on it. So for example, I don't have to wash and eat. I don't have to make an Erev Chatzeros. I can decide I won't carry from my chatzer into yours. But if I go in and I set up an Erev Chatzeros, or I decide to eat bread and wash, then it's considered a mitzvah and I make a brach on that. So we're going up from Rishus to mitzvah. Now the Rambam says, take Hadlokas Neros one step further, all the way to the top, and call it a chova. Chova means it's not conditional. If I want it, I don't want it, or if I want to get myself into a particular situation where I'm going to eat bread, I need to wash hands. No, it's an absolute unconditional chiyuv. Don't even bother asking me about conditions. There are no conditions. Then the Rama writes, V'echad anoshim v'echad noshim chayovim lios v'tehem ner dolok v'shabes. What does the Rama sound like? Is he emphasizing the ma'isad loka, or the fact that the house is lit up?
Sounds like
right, the latter, right? Ner dolok. You saw that? The Rambam goes on to emphasize the central significance of this mitzvah, and he's got to knock on doors and panhandle in order to get the money to buy the shemen and light the ner. This is Onik Shabbos. He makes a bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. It's got to be lit, of course, says the Rambam, Halacha Gimel, before Shkia. And then the Rambam drops the bomb. V'noshim mitzuvos al dover zeh yosef min anoshim. Very strange. The Rambam is not telling you that men are not obligated in this mitzvah. He already is committed to say echad anoshim v'echad noshim chayovos. But there's some sort of mitzvah yisera or chova yisera that's incumbent upon the women. And why is that? The Rambam doesn't quote any Zohars over here. That's not the derech of the Rambam. So he's not going to tell you about the chait of Chava, but rather he says, Mipnei she'mitzuyos b'bateyem vein asukos b'meleches habayis. This mitzvah was integrated into that part of preparing the house for Shabbos, which the women are in charge of, right? They're in the house. They are in charge of organizing the house with all the melachos of the bayis. Afal pichein tzorcha ish lasiron. The man is obligated. So he has to make sure that his wife fulfills this mitzvah. And that's the Mishnah in Bamev Adlikin, where the husband has to turn to the wife and he has to say, Adliku asaner, it's time to light the candles. And to be particularly careful about the fact that he sees to it that his wife doesn't light candles too late, which is an issue even in our time. So both the Torah and the Rambam agree that there's a special chiyuv and a primary obligation, if you will, incumbent on the women, for albeit two different reasons. The Rambam gives his reason, the Torah gives his. And after the Torah quotes the Kabbalistic reason, he mentions the Rambam, so it's not like he's oblivious to the Rambam. Again, the Torah emphasizes the two candles that have to be lit. I don't see that at all in the Rambam. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tanchuma that says that kol mili de Shabbos kafel. There are many dimensions about Shabbos that are double. Shnei kvasim, Mizmah Shel Yom HaShabbos, Lechem Mishnah, Zachar V'Shamar. And I think what he means by Mizmah Shel Yom HaShabbos is that in addition to Shira, which we recite every day of the week, on Shabbos we have a special Shira on top that leads us to two, and therefore the minhag is to light two candles. And this, my friends, is a Ramban in Parshas Yisro about what does it mean that everything is in twos. And if you're ever interested in hearing a shir on this topic, it's more of a machshava topic, I would love to share with you the insights of Rav Huttner in his Pachad Yitzchak. Okay, that's not for now. So what have we seen so far? We've seen the Rambam, we've seen the Tur, we've seen the Ramah in Darki Moshe, and we've seen the Beis Yosef. The Rav Shulchan Aruch goes to the other extreme, and he wants to assume that the chiyuv of Hadlakas Neiros is on the husband, not on the wife. And you'll see this on the left top of your page, left side. He says, Ha'isha Eina El Shlucho Shel Baal. And I never understood this Chiddush of the Alter Rebbe, because frankly speaking, there are many rayos in Chazal that the Iker Mitzvah is incumbent upon the woman, and not only that, she's going to suffer the knas, the repercussions, if she fails to live up to this obligation. I would say that the husband, just by assuming that his wife, you know, is going to fulfill this mitzvah, well, she'll be my shliach, maybe he's the one who should be penalized if they don't light Ner Shabbos. The Mordechai that we mentioned earlier, which is on the top left of your page, he says, Mishu Eitzel Ishto Eitzel Lahadlik V'chadjo L'varchlo V'she Ishto V'rechas Olav V'shvilo. Again, it does sound a little bit like the Rav Shulchan Aruch, but I'm not convinced that that's so. Now, what I'd like to call your attention is the Aruch HaShulchan, here again in Reish Samach Gimel. He writes, Ner Shabbos K'ner Chanukah Mitzvah V'chova. So that we've already seen more or less in the Rambam. We're talking about an absolute mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't mention Ner Chanukah. But moreover, look what he writes in the next part. He says, Al kol echad ladlika. Everybody has to light an Ner Shabbos. Hayu kol mishpacha chayeves b'adlakas haner. L'cheino ish b'beiso. Alright, she lights, that's fine. But if he has his own room, then maybe he should be lighting in his room. He says, "Ish tom avrechas olav birchasa nichlolos kol aneris b'kolach hadorim eino chidami." He should light in his room. He doesn't make a bracha on that lighting because his lighting is included in the lighting of the. I'm sorry, his bracha is included in the bracha of the isha. And this is a very important chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, both Lekula and Lechumra. Lechumra, don't rely on your wife if you have your own room and you need that room, you better light the candle in that room. That's a Chumra. So I have my own study, I have to make sure that that study, if I'm going to use it on Shabbos, is equipped with light. And in that sense, I'm not relying on my wife. But the Kula is, if you will, if you can call it a kula, that I will not make a bracha on that hadlaka. So it's one hadlaka for the entire bayis, but each part of the bayis requires hadlaka. The nafkamina is that I have to make sure that in every place that I'm going to use there is a candle lit, but at the same time it's all integrated into one bayis and therefore one bracha is chal for the entire bayis. And there's no parallel in Hanukkah. There is perhaps a parallel in Bedikas Chametz, because there too one bracha is chal on all the rooms in the house, but on the other hand, every single room has to be checked. I think it's a pretty decent parallel. The Aruch HaShulchan, from his part, would rather mention Chanukah than Pesach. I don't know. I don't know why. So let's take a look at how this is all brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, because all the sources that we saw to this point have to lead us to the Shulchan Aruch. And that's on the bottom of the page. Reish Samach Gimel, it says, Ye Zoyer Lasos Ner Yofeh. And frankly speaking, it doesn't sound like he's addressing the woman, the wife. Make sure it's a very reliable candle, a beautiful candle. The Yesh Mechavnim Laso Shteip Silos. Interesting. He doesn't want to codify this as absolute halacha. And I would insist, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you lit only one candle, that would be sufficient to be Yotze the Chiyuv. But the minhag is to light two candles, as we said before. In the Beis Yosef, the same author emphasizes Kol Advarim Shel Shabbos Kaful. Here, he only mentions the Tur and the Zohar V'Shamar. Now, says the Rama, if I'm in the mood, I want to light more than two candles. Yecholim Lohosif Elayla Gimel Odal Neiros V'Chein Nagu. So this whole business that we spoke about before, that, you know, the Darkei Moshe quoted the Ma'aril, and maybe there's a certain inhibition about adding candles. Well, in the Rama, at least you don't get that impression at all. Right? The more the merrier. She forgot one time. Here's where the Rama quotes the Ma'aril la'alocha. Ki yecholim la'osif al dover ha'machuvan Nege Dover Acher Ubilvad Shalo Yifchos. And here he quotes the Mordechai that we said before, and we have a little bit of confusion as to what this is all about. And believe it or not, I want to see the Mishnah Berurah, but before we get to the Mishnah Berurah, which is on page 3 of Yemar Makomos, I just want to point out the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadu. The Magen Avraham writes, Yesh Noagim Lahadlik Zion Neros. The Yesh Omrim Asora. So Rabosai, this is all based on Kabbalah. I have a suspicion that the Zion Neros probably comes from our Parsha, Parsha's Baloscha. And maybe the Asora comes from the Spheros, because each of the Spheros has a certain illumination to it, a spark. And that's the light of Shabbos. And then he writes that if she forgot a number of times, Tzrichel Osu B'chol Pam, it goes from one extra candle to two extra candles, three extra candles. Ki Adover Mishum HaKerish Shetei Zehira Mikan Ulaba. Again, it doesn't mean that we're trying to humiliate this woman publicly. You know, this is not a public flagellation because she's a criminal, but it's supposed to be a reminder for her. The Prima Gadim says, Im madlekes shtei neros upamachas rak achas, if she took upon herself as a regular minhag to light two candles, and she forgot and she only lit one candle, tzricha lahosif, v'chein madlekes harbe v'shocha pamachas v'choser achas, tadlik yosef shtei zehira. Now, honestly, I find this Prima Gadim to be a Chumr Yisera. I think it might be based on the halacha of Nidarim, not on the halacha of Ner Shabbos. And what I mean to say is that if you're knowing a minig yafeh over and over again, let's say a minimum of three times, that becomes like a neder. And she has to take that very seriously. So her minig is to light seven candles. She constantly, repeatedly lights seven candles. That becomes like a neder. It doesn't mean that if she lights six candles, she wasn't yotze in the mitzvah. So why are you penalizing her? And the only explanation I can give for this Prima Gadim is that you're penalizing her because of the avon nedarim. And she's reminded that her minig, and she's committed to that minig, is seven, and she shouldn't light less than seven. As a result, now she lit six, but in the future she's going to light eight. Now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, which is on page 3. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason why we have to be very careful about Ner Yofer is because of a chova mishum mitzvahs onik Shabbos, meaning there are many different ways, and this is very subjective and very creative, innovative, for each individual how to fulfill the mitzvah onik Shabbos, with the exception of Ner Shabbos. That's an absolute requirement incumbent upon everyone. And it should be made beautiful because of Hidur mitzvah. All that is fine. Now the Mishnah Berurah number Hey wants to address the question of what I call the Havdalah candle, which is otherwise known as a Shalheves. And he writes, Yesha Mechavnim Lasos Ner Shal Shava Mishnei Neros Kluim Biyachad. Are you familiar with that phrase, Kluim Biyachad? How would you say it in English? I don't know, intertwined maybe? And he says there is such a minhag. Have you seen this minhag? I never saw it. You saw it?
What do you mean? All the candles are like that? Isn't that what you mean?
Kluim? I use that for Avdallah. I use Kluim. You use it for Ner Shabbos?
Oh, for Shabbos? No.
Your mother used to like Kluim?
No. I'm saying...
Forget about your mother. Your grandmother. Let's go back to the Alta Hay, you know, because David has been in Canada for 70 years. So, but I'm saying 150 years ago, what did they like? Did they like Kluim at the time of the Mishnah Berurah? I don't know. He writes that it's a beautiful minhag, and because it's not just Zachar v'Shamar, it's two separate entities, but B'dibur Echad Nemro. U'minhag Hagonu, he sort of like claps for this minhag. I never saw this minhag. And in fact, intuitively, I didn't really relate to this minhag, because in all of halacha we always differentiate between a ner and a shalheves. In Avdolah we have a shalheves, but in Hanukkah, for example, a shalheves is possible. It's got to be a ner. So again, you'll have to ask your local Rosh Hashiva, you already know who knows what I'm referring to here, and see what Rabbi Silver says, but I never saw this minhag of Kluim. So Yudi, if you have a chance, ask Rabbi Silva. You know, he's one dar before me, I think.
Yeah.
Ask him if he ever saw this minhag. The Mishnah Berurah advocates in favor of this minhag. I feel a little uncomfortable about this minhag. But, you know, who am I to question the Mishnah Berurah? And it's nice. It's B'dibur Echad. You know, it's B'dibur Echad. Now he brings down another minhag in Vav of Shiva Neros, Keneged Shivas Yimei HaShavua. He doesn't want to accept my understanding that it has to do with the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe he would accept that if it was Ner Chanukah. And then he says, Asar keneged aseres. Where is it? Hadibros. I think it is. Am I right? Let me see. Oh, shucks, I lost it. Yeah, Hadibros. There it is. So he doesn't accept my pshat that it's connected to the Eser Sviros. Now, what is the connection here between the Aseres Hadibros and Ner Shabbos? And the only thing I can think of is that one of the Dibros is Shabbos. Although, admittedly, the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is not in the Aseres Hadibros. That's in Yeshayo HaNavi, the Karasel Shabbos Oneg. But nonetheless, we have to admit that Shabbos is in the Aseres Hadibros. Now, if you ask me why Shabbos is in the Aseres Hadibros, I can't answer that question because I can't answer that same question about the other nine Dibros. Possibly the first one I can answer why it's there, because Anokhi Hashem Elokech is the mitzvah of Amunah. But what I can tell you is that if you open up your local Zmiris for Ashkenazim, you will see that what's the first one that we sing, what's it called, before Menucha V'Simcha on Friday night, what's it called? Kavakari Shavi. Do you have it in front of you? I don't have a sitter here, unfortunately. But if you take a look in Kol Makari Shvi, there is an allusion to the Aseres Hadibros. Oh, look at that. I think I lucked out. I have a sitter here. And it says here, one second, where's Kol Makari Shvi? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Charuso liyom ha-shvi kechala bein reyoseha mishubatza. And this is a reference to the Aseres Hadibros. So if you have a chance, you know, to look into that, because this is my favorite. Kol Makari Shvi is really my favorite. There's so much lumdus here. Most of the piyutim are nice, you know, nice songs, but this one, you know, there's a lot of chidushim there. In any event, getting back to the Mishnah Berurah, he writes V'im Shachacha. This is in Sifkat in Zion. He writes Shachach Kam Pam in Tzrich Losif Kol Pam Od Ner Echad Yoser Vakol Mishum Knas Kedei Shetei Zehira V'Kvod Shabbos Al Kedim Nensa V'Lo Edlika Kigon. What's his case of Ones? I gave you a case where she was in a coma or she's giving birth in a hospital. He gives a case Shalaisav Beis Hasurim. I don't know, again, I don't know what went on in Radin 120 years ago. I don't know. Then he says, Isha Nia, if she's a poor person, Yesh Lahakil Sheshachacha. I mean, she didn't do it deliberately. She Tosif Kol Yimei Ma'at Shemen Baner. She doesn't have to add an extra Ner, an extra Psila, but just to add a little bit of Shemen into the Ner.
That's not like you said, necessarily a yesera on the mitzvah.
I guess it's a heder mitzvah for two reasons. Maybe it adds to the beauty of the ner, and also to last longer, but it's not another ner.
Right, so, exactly.
So we're going to be mekil if she forgot, because for her to take on the chumrah and the knas of an extra ner, it'll break her financially. Add a tipa of shemen. Then he says, Hanoshim Musharos. Okay, this is number Yud Aleph here. He says, Afilum Yirtza Bala Hadlik Biatzma. Wow. This is, you know, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos is supposed to be marital harmony. If you only have a candle on Shabbos Chanukah, you light it at Shabbos and not as Chanukah because the greatness of Shalom Bayis. Here we have a case of an altercation, a fight between a husband and wife over Ner Shabbos. The husband wants the light in there. She wants the light in there. Very sad. I can think of better things to fight about than Ner Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah decides to adjudicate in this controversy between the husband and the wife, and he writes Ha'isha Kodemes. That's the only time I ever found that phrase in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, in Moshe Yesh Harbe Neros, why not make a compromise? I would assume the Chafetz Chaim could have been a very good marital counselor to come up with a compromise. By the way, do you know how much counseling he did in marriage? Zero. And his son once asked him, Tati, you're mahadir after every single mitzvah, except this one, you don't get involved. You remember this? Chafetz Chaim said to his son, I cannot tolerate Lashon Hara physically. I get sick physically from hearing Lashon Hara. How could I get involved in marital counseling? He says, in Yesh Neros Harbe, if there's an ample, extensive supply of Neros, is who Gamkein Yochel Lahadlik? Give him a bone, you know what I'm saying? He also wants to get part of the mitzvah. Shehi Oledes, okay, she gave birth. B'Shabbos Rishona, Madlik HaBaal U'Mavarech. I mean, the premise is that she's in bed, maybe she's in the hospital, I don't know. Ubimeni do so Aisha Mevareches Biatzma. I don't know what the Havamina was otherwise. And he writes that the reason why the woman gets first dibs in this mitzvah Aisha Kodemes, Mipnei Shekovsa Ner Shal Olam, and he quotes the Kabbalah that was quoted by the Tur. In the Be'er Halacha, he says, I am Prima Gadim. Im lo shachal gamri rak shechisra ner echad imash oisra regil v'tchila, she has to add a candle. V'lo nehira. He doesn't like it, the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't like it either. My gosh, what is it? Din in the darim? Dechol zeu rak minug v'hovu d'lo losif aleh. So I'm not sure if he's asking the same question I was asking, but bottom line, he doesn't buy into this chumrah of the prima god. Now the Mishnah Berurah writes that if she's the oledes, she gave birth a husband a wife. So if you take a look in the Be'er Heitev, he writes of a knesak dol kotsav she yesh lahavi aner lifnei yoledes utevarech he biatzma. In other words, why rob a woman who never went through childbirth of this mitzvah that she so adores, the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Now, I don't think any Torontonians here in the audience would have ever heard of Rav Gedalia Felder. So Rav Gedalia has a very interesting chiddush here, which you'll see on the bottom of your page. And he writes the following: Kshein biderech o bimalon, when they're not lighting in their house, in their home, madlikin rak shtei neros kiminyan zocher v'shomer. V'chein nishalti l'fi aprima godim, afilu b'shocha b'neros is hanosafim, right? That she adds. He says v'e'ef sharkein. He says, Nivug Lisha Minug Ze Kehusna Domin. Now, I'm not sure what he means by Kehusna, but I definitely think he's disagreeing with the Prima Godim's Chumrah, but not for the reason I gave, not for the reason the Mishnah Berurah gave, but for Rav Gedalia Felder's reason. And he says because the Minug of this kind of Minug is Kehusna. Kehusna means it's not like a regular case where I take upon myself a chumrah, but rather it's always assumed that I took this chumrah with a t'nai, with a built-in condition. And if you take a look on the left side of the page, he quotes a tshuva, Lo tzricha la'osif b'chol Shabbos. Just one second. Shocha pam ach asem shem shem v'blika ner echad pachos midarka. Amru la noshin shetzich losif ner echad. So they told her the psak of the prima godim, and she added an extra candle. V'ata nafshe b'shelosa ki aner enosif shetzich la'adim kol Shabbos. Odai b'rak b'Shabbos zev, and he writes lo tzich losif kol Shabbos. So even if you want to accept the Prima Godim, says Rafelder, you can add another candle, but only for one Shabbos. There's no need to add a candle for an extra candle forever and forever. Shocha Tzrichel Hosif Afilu B'Shocha B'Neiros Hanosafim. Ah, okay. That has to be taken. Fine. Now let's go back to page one, and we want to get into what we call the kishkis of the nature and the definition of the mitzvah of ner shabbos. So if you take a look in Perek Bamem Adlikim on Shabbos Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, which is the last source on your page, it says there in the Gemara Hadlakas Ner Shabbos Chova, Ner B'Shabbos Chova. Tosis Dibra Maskil Chova. Yesha rotzim lomar di ein levarch ad lokas ner midakari lechova. So again, it's a lot different than the Rambam. The Rambam holds chova means a bracha, but in the language of Tosfos, the way he sees it in Shas, chova is less than mitzvah. For example, mayim achronim chova, and you don't make a bracha mayim achronim. So too, if the Gemara identifies Ner Shabbos as a chova, it means you don't make a bracha on Ner Shabbos. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the shibushu. That's a bad mistake. Lo domi l'mayim achronim. Mayim achronim is only a health issue, and the Chachamim advocate that you wash off your hands, clean off melech's domus. Aval adlokas ner. He chova shall mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. V'kama chovos heinde to unim bracha. And he goes on to prove from Shas that the word chova means an absolute chova with a bracha. And he rejects the first opinion mentioned by Tosfos. But what's more fascinating to us is at the end of this Tosfos, v'od nirul Rabbeinu Tam. Im haya ner mudlak vi omet. There's already lit, a candle lit, or now in our contemporary reality, there's electric lights that are lit. Tzarech lechavos, you have to extinguish the lights. The latzo lahadlik, it has to be adlaka for the sake of ner Shabbos, otherwise it's not onik Shabbos. Kide omale ahu sabah, b'vaj lo yachin, b'vaj lo yachin. So the Achronim want to learn from this Rabbeinu Tam that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is not just to have light in your home, but rather the Maisa Adlok. And therefore, if there's already a lit candle, but you didn't light that candle, you have to put it out in order to light it again. Now you might ask, why do you have to put it out? Why not just light another candle? And apparently Rabbeinu Tam sees two dimensions to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. One is the Maisa Adlaka, and the other is to generate a Ner Dolak. If it's already lit up in the house, then although you did a Maisa Adlaka, but that Maisa Adlaka is meaningless. It doesn't achieve the goal of Ner Dolak.
Yet when you're lighting, it's still light in the room. And your mitzvah is actually the lighting is for later on anyways. So if that light is going to go out, the first one, would you say that maybe that will be okay?
Ah, so if I understand your mitzvah, it's like this. I have a candle that's already lit, not for the purpose of Shabbos. I didn't make any bracha on it. Yeah. But it'll only last an hour. Right. Now I'm going to light a candle l'shem mitzvahs onik Shabbos with a bracha. That candle that I'm lighting now will last for 2 hours.
Right.
So in that scenario, so says Joe Zeifman, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Since the second candle I'm going to lit is going to last an extra hour, I have two dimensions. Number one, I could check off the first box, a mice adlocka. Number two, that adlocka is meaningful insofar as it creates a ner, doluk, and or, and a bais muar. My only question is, and I'm not trying to undermine your svara, because I think it's a very stark svara, is, do we say that these two dimensions have to happen simultaneously? That with the moment that I did the mais adlocka, I also achieved the bais muar. What I don't understand about Rabbeinu Tam is, wouldn't you agree that the more candles you light, the more light there is in the house? I have a suspicion that Rabbeinu Tam is writing this, Lafuki the Minag Nafut Hayom Bismanenu of hotels. Namely, that the ladies come in, and there's a table in the back of the Chadar Ochel, or in the front of the Chadar Ochel, and they light by the hundreds. So Rabbeinu Tam says the following. As far as Rivka is concerned, Rachel already lit the candle. Again, although she lit the candle for the sake of Shabbos, that doesn't help. That doesn't help Rivka, because Rachel's candle is not Rivka's candle. And therefore, again, what I'm about to say now is just, Belosh and Guzma, what she should do is put out Rachel's candle. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. But I think what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that you can't just add candles, ad infinitum. Maybe in certain cases, the Rabbeinu Tam would agree that one candle is not enough, and the second candle, and therefore you don't have to put out the first candle. But in a case where there's like dozens of candles, and she's looking desperately where she can put those little what do they call the tea lights? What do they call? And she finds a little teeny, 2x2 nothing in the middle of this table. Like, who are you fooling? You're not creating an R over here.
So you shouldn't be lighting. She shouldn't be making a bracha yourself.
I don't know. I don't want to paskin, because I'm telling you, this is the minute today. I've seen it dozens of times. I've seen it in the frumest hotels.
You can have it even in a house. I mean, on Yontif, Baruch Hashem, you have everybody comes for Yontif, all the different families. You can have like a million candles there too.
So I don't know. I don't know where this mitzvah applies. What I would suggest is, and again, you'll laugh at me, but I'm just thinking out of the box for a moment. This is not psak halacha. That if there's electricity that's lighting up the whole room, the husband should, or somebody, should shut off all those lights. She lights the Ner Shabbos, and then let him turn on all those lights. He wasn't mekabel Shabbos yet.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when she's lighting in the first place, the light from outside, it's still day.
So okay, Chazal tell us, it's a sugi menachos, that once you get past plaga mincha, the light of a candle adds something. It's concentrated, it's focused in a certain area.
Okay.
But in this case where, the whole place is lit up, today they have, I have to tell you, the halogens and this, that, and the other thing. So what good did your little humble candle do? Come on. Let's be honest about it. I don't know the answer to this question. Because the Rabbeinu Tam insists that you put out the candle. Why is he saying put out the candle? I don't know of any other answer except for the fact that your adlaka, with all due respect, the mice adlaka, but it doesn't add a thing. It's a maisa kof. It's just a technical, mechanical act. But it's basically meaningless because this it's already lit up. No, says Rabbeinu Tam, extinguish the other candle. Now light your candle. So what do we do with our electricity, yontif, hotels, and all the like? And I mean, modern contemporary society doesn't recognize this Rabbeinu Tam. So again, I would... Well, now we really need a candle. Okay, what is it?
It's going to be a power outage now.
Oh yeah, is this Toronto in June? I mean, I remember Toronto in May. I don't remember in June so much. Okay, a power outage. Can you hear me at all? Now, if you're interested, there are a lot of svekas, a lot of chidushim, a lot of insights and pilpulim about this case of the Prima Godin, where she lit less candles than she normally lits, whether she's subject to the knas or not. Perhaps it depends on whether the mitzvah is the maisad loka and there's a certain number of candles that she's mechuyev to light. Maybe it's just the R that she wants that the mitzvah is to generate the R in the bais, not so much the maisad loka, and therefore if she lit 6 out of 7, maybe there is enough R and we don't have to subject her to knas. The Bir Halacha, as we saw before, doesn't necessarily buy into this Prima Godin. And maybe according to the Mishnah Brura, the Ikar Tam of the Mitzvah Hadlokas Neros is the definition of Hadlokas Neros is the Maisa Hadloka. The Ikar Takon is Adlok of one Nair. We had a second Nair for Zalka Meshomer, but the Mais Adloka she did. If she did 6 out of 7 or whatever number it was, she did the Mais Adloka. I mean, maybe therefore she doesn't deserve a Knas. It's possible that the Prima Godim would understand that the definition essentially of Nair Shabbos, of the mitzvah of Nair Shabbos, is not the Maisad Loka, but rather the R, the Shehe R Bebayis. And the amount of R maybe is commensurate to the amount of candles that she lit, and if she takes upon herself to light more candles, then that's the R that she has to create. And if it may be according to Prima Godin, the reason why, even if she did the Maisad Loka, she's Mekayim the Ikar Takana, she needs the R. And if she lights a certain amount and then she forgets to light, it's not just a chisaron of heder mitzvah, but maybe in that sense it's part of the mitzvah itself. Perhaps this hagdolas ha'or enhances the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It's not just the chi of neder. Once she accepts upon herself mishum neder, it really impacts and changes on the nature of the mitzvah. And the minyan aneros now becomes essential to the mitzvah in terms of the level of oneg that minyan achieves. The greater the minyan, the greater the level of oneg. And maybe that's why the Prima Godin wants to impose this knas, insofar as she's undermining, to some extent, again based on her minyan, the mitzvah, the full blown mitzvah of oneg Shabbos by reducing the number of candles. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss here. I just want to mention in passing the Brisker Rov, which has to be analyzed, that there are two parts of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Kibbutz Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. The lighting on Erev Shabbos in preparation for Shabbos is certainly a mitzvah of Kibbutz. On the other hand, enjoying the Ner Shabbos when he eats, etc., etc., that's called Oneg Shabbos. So he has both Kiyumim. And then the dimension, of course, of Shalom Bayis, that Ner Dolok Bebeso is Shalom Bayis, and that's why the Gemara establishes that Ner Beso is Odif, it comes first before Kiddush Hayom, because of Shalom Bayis, and certainly before Ner Chanukah. Again, the gather of Noshim we spoke about, is it that they have a Chiyuv beyond the Anoshim? Or do we see this chiyuv as imposed equally on both the Isha and the Isha? There's even a shita that we said that the ish is really the mechuyev, but the isha is lighting as his shliach. But the more common understanding is that there's a heavier and more profound and primary chiyuv imposed upon the isha. And actually, in closing, we might want to mention the first sugya that we touched on. I mean, we only touched on Rabbeinu Tam, but if you take a look in the Gemara in Bamei Bedlikin, and this is of course very famous, the Gemara says Al Sholosh Averos is the Noshim, it's such a terrible harsh punishment, Mesos Peshasli Dosim. And why is this? Because of Nida, Chala, and Adloka Saner, and that's all brought together. You'll find it also in the Medrash Tanchumi here on the top right, in Parshas Noach. You'll see it here in the Alkut Shimoni, here in Parshas Baloscha, that Kvod Shabbos is through Ner Shabbos. And Chavivi hi mitzvos haneros lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neroseh Kvod Shabbos, Neroseh hein Kvodo, that's the Kvod Shabbos. Im shamartem Neros shel Shabbos, and imar lechem Neros shel Tzion. Tremendous rewards for being careful about the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And there's an Or Chodesh that Hashem will bring upon us, that is the Holchu Goyim La'orech, and that Or Chodesh is the Or of Tzedakah. And B'zchus HaNer Hashem Adlikah B'Shabbos, that's going to bring about this Or. Chavivehi Mitzvah Saneros Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Yirotz, I don't want to end with a tefillah that we should be zochet to fulfill this mitzvah in its most beautiful way, and be very careful about this mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, understanding and appreciating its significance. And with the R of Ner Shabbos, we should be zochet to the R Olam at the time of the Gula Shleima B'mehera V'yameinu Amen.